Welcome to North Park Community Church this morning. If you're online or you're here in the room, we get to worship God together this morning. And I pray that that is never lost on us, that we get to worship God this morning, the creator of the universe. Amen.
Yes.
And through Jesus and through the cross, we who were once enemies are now friends with God. Isn't that an amazing idea? Yes? Okay. I think it's pretty amazing. I think it's something worth being excited about. It's something worth celebrating. It's something worth giving him all of our attention, our praise, our affection over this morning. So let's continue to worship together.
Thank you.
You may be seated. I am Dave Rothman. It's my pleasure to welcome you to hot Fresno. This is the hottest place on earth right now, I think. We're the northern Mojave Desert. Doesn't that sound like a wonderful place? Anyway, good morning once again. I hope you're having a great day and a good weekend and you're faring well through and finding someplace cool. I just had a friend of mine say that they lost their air conditioning yesterday. Yeah, that's what I said. I said, well, you're more than welcome to come over and hang out, but he had a better offer somewhere else, so he took him up on that. But anyway, I'd just like to welcome you this morning. This morning, as you walked in, you more than likely got a communication card and a little one-page thing telling about what's going on here at North Park. That envelope is great for us to get the personal information. Also, prayer requests and praises of what's going on. And you online, we want to say, you can reach out to us at northparkchurch.org and do the same thing. The envelope for us here is to give our tithes and offerings and helps keep the coolers on. Thank God for days like this. And then also, you can drop those in the boxes on your way out by the doors. Online, you can do that right there on our website. So please don't forget to do that. Also, today we have water baptisms. We hope we do. The young man that's supposed to get water baptized, he and his family has not showed up. He doesn't drive himself, put it that way. He's reliant on mom and dad to get him here, but mom and dad haven't done that thus far yet, so we're hoping that still comes through. But also, we have water baptisms today, and also, we have family camp coming up at Pismo Beach the last weekend of July, going to August 1st. On the 31st of July, we'll also offer opportunity for you to be water baptized over in the beautiful, cool water of the Pacific Ocean. So if that is something you want to do and you want to brave and endure the cold water there, please indicate by sending us an email or commenting on the communication card saying that's something you'd like to do, and we'll make contact with you and get that lined out and make sure that happens for you. So please don't forget to do that. Also, summer adventures coming up, a.k.a. Vacation Bible School for those that are old. As Bob likes to say, but that is coming up just in another week or so. And you know what? We've had to stop people from registering right now because we're full. And the only reason we're full is because people haven't stepped up. We've had a great number step up thus far, but we need more volunteers. So if that's something you're willing to do to open up that opportunity for a young person to hear the gospel for a week long and have an opportunity to respond to that, hopefully a little guilt was set there. You'll go out to the table in the courtyard by the children's registration area and sign up to do that, and Pastor Candy will get in touch with you to do so. So if that is something that you're willing to do, it would be greatly appreciated. Now, will you all stand with me for one moment? I know we're supposed to go straight into a kid's moment, but as soon as the kid's moment starts, you need to stop. Turn around and tell the person, you look really hot, better than the weather today.
Kids, great to see you today. So I wanted to talk to you today about what you can do when you get into trouble and you sin. So I'm going to tell you a little story to start off. So a few years ago, my son and my daughter were playing together, and as what happens when siblings play together, they started to argue. Abigail call out for me, I found her there crying. But I didn't find Colson anywhere, so I began to look around the house to see where Colson was. Colson, buddy, where are you? We need to talk. So I scanned and I scanned. And there I found in his room, on his bed, a giant mountain. So I came over to him and I pulled back the covers and found him upset and crying. He knew what he did was wrong and he wanted to hide from everybody. Have you ever felt like you wanted to hide when you got into trouble and hope it just goes away? I know I have. And it also made me think of a Bible story where some people got into some sin and they wanted to hide from God. That's right. Adam and Eve sinned. They disobeyed God by taking a bite out of the apple when he told them not to. And then when God was walking through the garden looking for them, they hid from God in their shame and their sin. But I have great news for you guys. God doesn't want us to hide from him when you sin. He wants us to come to him and confess our sins. In fact, in 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from our transgressions. But guess what? It gets even better than that, kids. It says in Psalm 103:11, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. So the next time you're in trouble and all you want to do is hide from God, I encourage you instead to go to him to confess your sins because he is faithful to forgive you. Love you guys.
So good. Thanks, Tathams. We love you. Will you all stand and join us as we continue to worship God together?
All throughout history, your faithfulness has walked beside. Remember when I'm weak,
church. I see your promises in fulfillment. It's all over my life. It's all over my life. Yeah. I see the evidence of your goodness. It's all over my life. It's all over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment.
Sending your son Jesus to walk the earth. And we thank you, Jesus, for being obedient unto the cross, for enduring the cross and all of its scorn and all of its shame on our behalf. And God, I pray that whatever fear we are holding on to today, that we would place that into your careful, loving, trustworthy hands. And God, I pray that whatever sin we are holding on to, that we are carrying with us, Lord, that we would turn from that and that we would also hand that over to you. God, that we would repent of the things that don't please you. Repent of the things that we do that fall short of what you've called us to. And God, then we would find the fullness of life that you have available to us. So I say,
once again, welcome to North Park Community Church in Fresno, California, where you've already heard it's hot. So on my way to church today, I saw a dog chasing a rabbit, and they were both were walking. It is a delight to have all you here, all of you who are working online and all of you who are here in person. It is great to see you this morning. And as Becca said at the onset of the service, we get to worship God together today. What a great, great opportunity that is. In order for a church to operate, we depend on a lot of volunteers. Volunteers are so important to us. If you had a cup of coffee today, a volunteer made that. If you had some lemonade, that was a volunteer. If you were handed a bulletin when you came in, that was a volunteer. But there are some who volunteer for bigger things. It's not just from a Sunday to Sunday or not just an event to a different event. But when they volunteer, they put in a lot of time. And we want to honor one of those people today. Penny Murray, after about 20 years of being our women's ministries director, is stepping down. So Penny, why don't you come on up here? We want to let you know how much we appreciate you. Penny, you have served North Park with excellence for a long time. Everything you do is, what's a good word, spiffy. It's always pretty, okay. It's always done with excellence. It's always done with class. And I know you have felt frustration at times, but there's always a smile on your face. You are remarkable. In fact, we have, through women's ministries and what you've done, I mean, these big events, women love them. Women give their hearts to Christ. But at the same time, we're raising money for missions. You all have raised hundreds of thousands of dollars, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars for missions over these years. And we are so grateful for you and so grateful for all you've done. But we also realize with all the time and the blood, sweat, and tears that you've put into this, you couldn't have done it without a supportive husband. Right. Jerry Murray, wave to us back there. And family, that whole row is Penny's family. Thank you for sharing Penny. Thanks for making the sacrifices that you have made. Penny, this isn't much, but on behalf of North Park Community Church and our staff and board, we want to present you with this envelope and just say we love and appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bob.
Penny, in fact, I know she doesn't look this old, but Penny, in fact, was in Mary Ellen's and my wedding party. She was there and a part of the celebration that day. And we've been married for almost 40 years, so a long time. I'm so glad that Mary Ellen's folks let me marry their 5-year-old daughter. It was and has been a blessing. Have any of you ever watched this show? This is one of those times I shouldn't admit that I ever watched this show, probably. But have any of you ever watched this show, Last Comic Standing? Last Comic Standing. They had this one comic, and she was so funny. Her routine always started with something like this. I don't have jokes. I got problems. And she tells stories on herself and her family, and she was hilarious. But we have to admit, we all have troubles, don't we? We all have trouble in our life. Sometimes there's more than other times. Sometimes it seems like a minor annoyance. Sometimes those troubles in our lives can bring us to a standstill. Well, the early church faced trouble. They had some problems. We talked last week about Peter and John, how they had gone into the temple courts. There was a man begging, a lame man begging. He asked them for money. They said, silver and gold we don't have, but what we have we'll give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Lazarus, rise up and walk. The man got up. He began to walk around. There was a big stir, of course, in the temple. The religious leaders of the day, and I'm sure the political leaders as well, they didn't like it. They had just crucified Jesus, and now these followers of Jesus go into the temple, and they tell this man, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. They were pretty ticked off. So they got Peter and John into custody, and it was getting late in the day, so they threw them in jail overnight. And then the next morning they came, and they warned them, don't talk about this Jesus anymore. Now, Peter and John and the whole church knew what these men were capable of. These are the same men that had taken Jesus into captivity. They're the same ones that put him to a false trial. They're the same ones who had beat him and had him whipped and had a crown of thorns placed upon his head. They're the same one that had Jesus murdered on a cross. They're the same ones who put a seal on Jesus' tomb so that nobody could come and take it away, thus leading people to believe that he wasn't really dead. They had reason to be afraid. The church at this moment had an option. And their option was, how are we going to handle this trouble? How are we going to face opposition? How are we going to even protect ourselves? So with that in mind, let's move into this. Acts chapter 4, verses 23 to 31. It said, as soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priest and elders had said. When they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God. O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through your ancestor David, your servant, saying, why were the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against the Messiah. In fact, this has happened here in this very city. For Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed. But everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray that as a result of our being here today, that our lives will be shaken, that we will be filled with your Holy Spirit, and that we will be emboldened to speak your word with great force and great authority. In your name we pray, amen. What do we do in times of trouble? Now, I'm sure we've all experienced times of trouble, and in times of trouble, what are our first inclinations? Well, in times of trouble, we kind of want to hide from other people, don't we? In times of trouble, we may want to be by ourselves. That's my default button. I want to be by myself. In times of trouble, we may want to make excuses for ourselves or excuses for others. In times of trouble, we may have a tendency to just say, I give up. I give up on everything. I'm done. In fact, a lot of people's problems in the world today are a result of their giving up during times of trouble. But I believe in this story, we see some very important steps that we need to take when we find ourselves in trouble. In times of trouble, pray. In times of trouble, pray. I just think it's absolutely remarkable that as soon as Peter and John were released from prison, they went to the other people in the church, and what's the first thing they did? They prayed. They prayed about it. You know, we have a tendency as human beings to waste too much time talking about it and not spend enough time praying about it. So when we find ourselves in times of trouble, we need to commit ourselves to prayer, and not only prayer by ourselves, but prayer with other people. As the Bible tells us, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there in their midst. There's a kind of synergy, a kind of multiplication of prayer when we pray together. We need to learn to pray together more freely. I had a great example in my father. I remember anytime somebody came into our home, as soon as they came into our home, he would pray, and before they left, he would pray. And we would pray together. They weren't long prayers. They didn't sound extremely holy or anything like that. They weren't even in King James English. They were just sincere prayers. But I learned from that example of praying. Another great example of prayer to me is Dave Rothman over here. When somebody has a need or has a problem, you know, he'll say, well, let's stop. Let's pray about it right now. When someone's in trouble, that's when we need to pray together. I love the fact that it also, the story ends with a verse that says, after they prayed this prayer, the place was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they preached the word of God with boldness. Prayer impacts our lives. When we pray, we invite the involvement, the intervention of God Almighty into our lives and into the lives of those we're praying for. We need to learn to pray. Second thing we need to do in times of trouble is reflect or remember. Reflect and remember. Peter and John, I love some of these New Testament prayers because they're kind of a history lesson within the prayer. And Peter and John are just kind of saying, this is what happens. This is what you have done, God. This was your plan, God. We remember times in the past when you did not let your people down, God. We remember your past promises to be faithful to us and protect us, God. And they thank God for the good things that he has done. I know I talk about Thanksgiving quite a bit, but Thanksgiving is the great perspective changer. When we're troubled, it's even more important that we look back at all the times God has blessed us. We look back at all the times that God has protected us. We look back at all the times that God has done something for us that we did not deserve. And it's important that we give him thanks. There's a convicting story in the New Testament about 10 lepers coming to Jesus. And they say, Jesus, heal us. And what's Jesus do? What does Jesus do? He heals people. Jesus healed them. And they all, in their excitement, went on their way, and only one returned to say thank you to Jesus. How many of you can say that God's done great things for you in your life? How many of you can say that God has bailed you out many times in your life? How many of you say that it's obvious that God has your best interest in mind and it's shown all through your lives? How often do we go back and thank him for those things? We need to spend time thanking Jesus. We need to remember. We need to reflect. There's a confidence. There's a power. There's a blessing. There's an attitude shift that comes with that. In times of trouble, we also need to be emboldened. I mentioned a little while ago, when trouble comes, we like to hide. We do everything we can not to ignore that video we saw up there. What did Jason and Kim's son do when he did something mean to his sister? He went and he hid under his sheets. I don't know how many of us hide under our sheets. It's too hot to hide under our sheets right now, but I don't know where we do it. Maybe some of us do. Some people, when they go into kind of funk, they just get kind of, you know, they just feel bad, and they just want to curl up in bed and sleep their life away. But that's not how we should respond. Peter and John in the early church found himself in a troubling situation, in a troubling time. And what did they do? They asked God for power to boldly proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. So are you going through troubles in your life? Don't try to run from them. Confront them. Don't try to get away from them. Face them head on. Use your trouble as an opportunity to ask God to make you bold so that you can share the good news of Jesus Christ. Let's stop here for a moment. I want to give us the opportunity to do a little self-examination. What is it in your life that you're finding troubling right now? What is it? Is it a relationship issue? Is it a health issue? Is it a spiritual issue? Maybe it's even a financial issue. What is troubling you right now? Think about it. I want us to give those things to God this morning. Heavenly Father, we sit here as a troubled people. We're troubled. We've got a lot of things that bother us. We've got a lot of things that impact us. We've got a lot of things that affect us. But Jesus, we know that you are the great healer. You're the one who can take our troubles away. You're also one that can teach us and help us to stand firm against trouble in our life. And today, Lord, I just pray that you'll give each one of us a right perspective of those things that are troubling us and help us to recognize, Lord, that those are things that you desire to use so that you can use us in a greater way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Will you stand as we sing this together?
You. Hey.
So in times of trouble, pray. Let me give you two tips to the kinds of prayers that you should pray. First of all, we need to learn to pray for those people that we may see as our problem, that we may see as our trouble. So a lot of people we blame, and maybe some of the blame is justified, but we blame people for the trouble in our life. That can be a family member, that can be a coworker, that can be just about anybody. It can certainly be a politician. Several years ago, true story, well, many years ago now, there was a politician that just bothered me extremely. And I made a commitment one day that I was going to begin to pray for that politician and their family every day. And I did. And you know what the amazing thing was? It wasn't that much later, probably a few months later. I still didn't agree with the word that politician said. I still thought they were dangerous. But you know what? I had a genuine affection and compassion for that politician and their family. What happens? God softens our hearts when we pray. We need to give thanks for everything in our life that we have to be thankful for, because thanksgiving makes us realize that our life doesn't consist of just this trouble and just our problems, but God has been with us and he's blessed us all along. We need to remember what God has done, not only for us, but what he's done for his people and his followers throughout the many, many centuries. We need to be emboldened to share our faith and not retreat and go into hiding. And finally, in times of trouble, we need to allow God to shake and to fill us. That last verse, verse 31 of the text we read, says, after this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. What did they want more than anything else? More than anything else, they wanted to know the true and living Jesus, and they wanted to dedicate their lives to being used by him. They didn't pray, just God protect us. They didn't pray, just God, use us. They didn't pray, God, give me my way. I mean, I mention it a lot. God is not our divine butler, but that's how some of us treat him. They didn't pray, God, just bless me and my family. But they prayed that they would be emboldened and that they would be strengthened to be used by God. God has something for each one of us to do. God created us with a purpose. God created us with special gifts, with special abilities, with unique passions, with character traits like no one else. And he wants us to use those things for him. And let me tell you, friends, there's no gift that's more important than any other. What gift is more important? Billy Graham's ability to get up and to speak to hundreds of thousands of people and see people pour to the altar? Or his little old mother and her little old lady friends who got on their knees and prayed for Billy Graham regularly? You see, one would not have happened without the other. What's more important, the person who's a philanthropist and they give millions of dollars for the causes of Christ, or the person who hands out bulletins and communication cards at the door when people come in? You see, friends, how many of you had a cup of coffee today? Glass of lemonade. It was a volunteer that made that for you this morning. And that's so important. When a person comes through the doors of the church and somebody greets them with a smile, that's an important ministry. There's no ministry, there's no purpose that's less important than another. Some of us think, I can't do anything. I don't have any special talents. I don't have any gifts. You can pray. We can all pray. No gift is more important than another. And the first century church immediately, I think it's because so many of them had followed Christ while he was living. They had spent 3.5 years seeing his character and living under his ministry. But their inclination was not to come back to them. But when they got out of trouble, basically they said, okay, God, here's more opportunity. Empower me, embolden me, and use me for you. So how do you deal with trouble? A big part of dealing with trouble is not making our trouble the focus of our life, but instead making Jesus the focus of our lives. And then the verse in Romans comes true, then all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purposes. You see, I know a lot of you have trouble in your life right now. You're going through things that aren't fair. You're going through things that aren't pleasant. You're going through things that are uncomfortable. But let me promise you this, God's word is true. And God can take that trouble, he can take that negative thing, and he can turn it around and use it for his good. So I want us to end our service today this way. I want to ask everybody to stand to your feet. In just a moment, the worship team is going to lead us in another song. And when that happens, I want to give you the opportunity to come forward, to bring your troubles to Jesus and have somebody pray with you. If you're in the room and you're a staff member, a board member, on our prayer team, I want to invite you to come forward right now. Be prepared to pray with people. These folks up here in the front, they're here to pray with you about your trouble. Because Jesus is the only one that can fix many of our troubles. This is also the second Sunday of the month when we always offer water baptisms. Now, water baptism is something that Jesus instructed us to do, both individually, and it says to baptize others when they come into relationship with Christ. I love the sermon Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. He said, when people said, what do we need to to do. How do we know this Jesus? And he says, repent of your sins, turn to God, be baptized in water, and you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. Many of the answers to the questions we have, many answers to the trouble we have in this life is when we do an act of obedience that calls upon us to recognize Jesus Christ as our Savior. So if you've never been baptized before and you'd like to be baptized in water, just come down during this song and we will take care of it. Worship team.
Surrounding me, let it break at your name, and still call the sea to still, the rage in me to still, every wave at your name, sing peace, peace, bring it all to peace, the storm surrounds. Let it break at your name, still call the sea to still, the rage in me to still, every wave at your name. Again, I will praise and breathe.
Pray that as we leave this place, that we would not leave it the same, but God, that the things that are in our lives that need to be shaken, unsettled, and then reorganized and reordered under your lordship and under your kingship in our lives, God, that you would do that work. God, I pray for those of us who feel like we're lacking in value or we don't know what our identity is yet in you. God, I pray that we would know our identity in Christ. God, that you would reveal to us what it is that you've created us for and what you've emboldened and empowered us for. God, that our purpose would be revealed to us. And God, then by the power of your Holy Spirit, we would be brave and have the courage to say yes and to follow you this week. God, I pray for the pain and the sorrow that we are holding in this room, God, that we would lay it into your careful hands, that the joy of the Lord would be our strength, that our sorrow would turn into dancing, and God, that our testimony as we leave this place would be a testimony of the goodness of God, that we've been set free from sorrow, we've been set free from pain, we've been set free from sin and from sickness. God, we call on your power in our lives, Lord. We say, have your way in us. And I pray that this church, North Park Church, would be known as a vital, alive church that is empowered and emboldened by the Spirit of the living God. God, we want you to use us. We're desperate for you to use us this week. And so we make ourselves available to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we all said, amen. God bless you as you go.